This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Whatever you want, toll free here at 855-453, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We're talking about drug dealing, specifically the proposal that Donald Trump has made to outlaw drug dealing to the point of it being the death penalty. It's already punished with mandatory minimum sentences that put people in lockup for many years at a time for simply just performing a market service, giving people the product and the service that they're looking for most of the time. I mean, the black market's also kind of bad about providing the right product and the right service, but generally people do end up, because sometimes you'll buy something and it's not actually what it was advertised.
Well, that happens like at Walmart, too. That's not
that often.
To the black market.
It's pretty rare that you go to Walmart and you pick a bottle of aspirin off the shelf and it's not actually aspirin, but in fact poison. That
has
happened.
You might want to look into some vitamins. You might want to look into some vitamin issues that have happened in the past couple of years.
I said, it has happened. There was one time when I think Bayer, way back, had a bad batch or something. Or something happened with tampering with Bayer. I forget
what
the story was.
I know back in the early 80s, there was something where somebody was dropping something in Tylenol. But that was before they had the tamper-resistant packaging.
Yeah. So, I mean, there have been a few instances of that, but it's pretty rare.
Right, but like if I go to buy a sweet potato, I don't accidentally grab turnips.
Yeah, I mean, even one of our friends, Rich Paul, went to jail for this. Whether he knew or not what was going on is another question, but he sold something as acid that wasn't actually LSD. You know, the word acid was purportedly a generic term for some sort of psychedelic. That was the explanation for it. But ultimately, you know, it happens pretty frequently in the black market that people will sell things that are not the actual product that they're representing.
Not only that, but on the black market, you have the problem to where things wind up getting cut with other substances.
That's true.
So one time you might go buy what you think is, say, 80% pure cocaine that's actually 40%, or maybe it's 90% because it didn't get cut as much or it got cut too much.
And that can result in overdoses.
Right.
If somebody's getting a certain...
They're used to a certain dose, and then they wind up getting a different...
Perhaps a stronger dose without realizing it, and then they end up overdosing on something like heroin. Or isn't the fentanyl what they've been cutting heroin with that's causing problems for people? Isn't that one of the cutting
And then agents? I've also heard that some people might be selling fentanyl as heroin. So not just cutting it, you know, into the heroin, but just like selling it straight up, and fentanyl is a lot stronger than heroin.
And if there were compassion, if there were understanding of the drug addict and the marketplace as well, then maybe we wouldn't hear things like Trump, you know, pounding the pulpit for a death penalty. And
demanding compassion is kind of going a little bit too far. You don't have to be compassionate towards someone to just not kill them for something that isn't aggression. Like, compassion is just an extra step. I mean, there's plenty of people who I don't have compassion for. I'm not killing them. I'm not advocating that they be killed. I'm not even defending the position of them being killed.
I get what you're saying.
Those are two different things.
But today, taking the position of, hey, don't kill those people, is the more compassionate stance.
Yes.
Whether you like it or
not. It's not necessarily compassionate. It might just be the lazy stance.
Fair enough.
Y'all go OD in the street and I won't have to deal with you anymore. That doesn't mean I have to spend money to convict you.
That's true. You can be completely cold-hearted and take that stance as well. So, in fact, let's stop the talk. We'll get back to the border wall here because I've got a related story to that. Trump was at this speech that he was giving in New Hampshire about the drug penalty that he wants to crank up for drug dealers to being the death penalty. And then he transferred that, transitioned into talking about the wall. So we'll get into that coming up here in moments. But I want to make sure we give Melanie the chance to bring up her topic tonight. I don't want to, missed this, because I really wanted to hear Melanie explain why she thinks empathy is actually a bad thing. Empathy being the ability to feel, or at least attempt to feel as somebody else feels, to put one in another person's shoes and try to understand where that person is coming from. Why is that a bad thing?
Okay, so, and to me, Melanie, before I get into the article, to me, empathy is basically just making someone else's problems about your feels. So there's someone else who is starving to death, or got hit by a car, or got shot in the leg, or has cancer, and you go from how can we help that person to look at my feels about that scenario. And that, to me, is kind
of... That doesn't sound like empathy. That sounds like broadcasting how great of a, you know, philanthropist you are. Like, I am so important. Look at me helping this person. That's
no, not even look at me
different.
Helping. Look at me being sad. Like, you're diverting from the actual problem to your feels, which entirely does not...
But empathy
not
doesn't
empathy.
Have anything to do with look at me. Empathy
not
is...
Not that you're actually walking up to people and being like, hey, a guy in line at Walmart, did you know I'm sad about the tsunami? Like, not that.
Well, then what's the look at me aspect you're talking about?
Okay, so that you're...
Sounds like what you're describing is what is referred to as virtue signaling, which is totally not the same thing as empathy.
Well, no, but even saying that you should or shouldn't feel a certain way about something that happened to someone else, usually not related to you or any relationship with you at all. So even if you just say now, like, oh, this commercial makes me sad, like, you're diverting attention away from the problem and what you may or may not be able to do about it to your feels. You're making your feels be the issue.
Well, I mean, can't somebody just have empathy and then take action?
You could do both, yes, yeah. But then empathy in and of itself still is...
Can't the empathy be the motivator? I mean, can't the empathy be the... Like, it's not a distraction for me. I can understand, boy, it sure would suck to be homeless. I think I'd like to give some money to the homeless shelter. I mean, there you go. Empathy followed by action. You don't have to just sit there and whine about how awful it must be to be homeless. I guess I don't know. Let's hear, though, what you wanted to share. You've got some sort of story from, what, a shrink?
Yeah, so this is a psychologist from Yale. His name is Paul Bloom. He wrote a book called Against Empathy, but this is him talking about it while he was still writing it.
Okay.
When asked what I'm working on, I often say I'm writing a book about empathy. People tend to smile and nod, and then I add, I'm against it.
Yeah.
This usually gets an uncomfortable laugh.
It does.
This reaction surprised me at first, but I've come to realize that taking a position against empathy is like announcing that you hate kittens. A statement so outlandish that it can only be a joke. I don't know why hating kittens is outlandish, but... And so I've learned to clarify, to explain that I am
not... It won't make you popular if you announce that you hate kittens.
Neither will being on this show, so, I mean, I've apparently given up on that. And so I've learned to clarify, to explain that I am not against morality, compassion, kindness, love, being a good neighbor, doing the right thing, and making the world a better place.
Okay.
My claim is actually the opposite. If you want to be good and do good, empathy is a poor guide. And I'm going to just kind of skip a lot because this is a really long article. But then skipping most people see the benefits of empathy as akin to the evils of racism, too obvious to require justification. I think this is a mistake. I have argued elsewhere that certain features of empathy make it a poor guide to social policy. Empathy is bias. We are more prone to feel empathy for attractive people and for those who look like us or share our ethnic or national background. And empathy is narrow. It connects us to...
Maybe that's true, but that doesn't mean that people can't feel empathy for people that are far away from them. I mean, look at the tsunami that hit, I think it was Thailand years ago, just devastated that place. They received, I don't know, $1 billion worth of aid or something like that from the Red Cross.
They got enough money to where the Red Cross said, stop donating, we don't know how to spend this.
Yeah, and most of those people donating would probably have never vacationed in Thailand and probably don't have family in Thailand, but they did it anyway. So even if you can, you know, pull out a study that says, hey, what do you know? People are more likely to give money to somebody that lives down the street from them than somebody that lives halfway across the world, or, you know, that they can easily empathize with people that look similar to them.
I don't think that is necessarily inappropriate, because you might have better information about the people down the street than the people across the world, but that's
or you might just feel as though you can, it may not have to do with information. You may have no idea who the people down the street were, but you know that they're hurting, and you know your money is going to be better spent locally than it might be by some international
organization. Right, and that can be the case sometimes.
Hold that thought. We're going to continue with more on why Melanie is against empathy here on Free Talk Live.
What's more profitable, running your business or doing bookkeeping? Doing your business, of course, but you want to keep your books so that you can maximize your tax savings, right? What if I told you that there's a person that's a bookkeeper, accountant, and law school graduate that's also a hardcore libertarian?
My name is Melanie Johnson, and I hate the states. I will aggressively help you to minimize your tax exposure and maximize profits, all while staying within the law.
Melanie's your best choice for your taxes and bookkeeping needs. Go to tax.freetalklive.com and check out her website, tax.freetalklive.com.
You've heard of Bitcoin Cash, but did you know there's now a Bitcoin Cash wallet? The Bitcoin.com wallet is a simple and powerful full-featured Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Core wallet that allows you to send and receive either currency with anyone anywhere in the world. The Bitcoin.com wallet supports both single and multi-signature wallets and is available in multiple languages. The Bitcoin.com wallet is available for Android, iOS, Windows, Mac, and even Linux. Learn more at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com.
This is Daryl W. Perry, host of Free Talk Live. This November, I'll be running in the world's biggest and most popular marathon, the New York City Marathon, and I've accepted a spot on Team Innocence Project because I'm a passionate supporter of their work. Since 1989, 353 people in the United States have been exonerated by DNA testing, including 38 who pled guilty to crimes they did not commit, and 20 of whom served time on death row. The Innocence Project provided direct representation or critical assistance in 180 of these cases. With your help, the Innocence Project can help even more people who have been wrongly convicted. As part of Team Innocence Project, I'm raising awareness about wrongful convictions and raising funds to help free the innocent. I've already paid the race registration fees. However, to secure my spot on Team Innocence Project in the New York City Marathon, I need to raise $3,500 by November 1st. You can support the Innocence Project and help me secure my race entry by going to run.freetalklive.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Tired of being censored by Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Patreon? Well, now you don't have to be. OneWay.com is the free speech and human-friendly social network built just for you. Stop feeding the beast. Every post you make on those evil, anti-human, anti-American perverted sites helps them destroy our families, our country, and our souls. Join OneWay today and take back your liberty. Your free speech alternative is waiting for you at OneWay.com. OneWay.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is is Free Talk Live, and of course, you can bring up what you want. We're talking about empathy, and Melanie is taking the shocking position, I would say, that she doesn't like empathy. She's against empathy. Yeah, she should.
I don't know that I'm like fully 100% against empathy. It's one of those tools where
there's a little warm spot inside your heart.
So that's an ad hominem, but
that you have a heart, or that there's a warm spot inside of it.
But yeah, so it's one of those things where something can be a useful tool, but then people try to use it for something else, and then they just completely mess up because that's not what it's for. Well, so yes, you have feelings. There's kind of nothing we can do about that, pretty much. That doesn't mean you should say, okay, well, I'm going to base my entire morality off of my feelings, which is what people are advocating and what a lot of people do on a day-to-day basis.
So if you want to take Melanie and her cold calculating methods and apply it to your taxes, she can get it done. She hates the state. She's a real anarchist, and she's not going to let any feels get in the way.
But hate is a feeling.
That's right.
Anger is a feeling. Hate is not a feeling.
Really?
Yes.
Hate's not a feeling. All right. Well, I don't know if I agree with that, but let's talk about your tax service. Go to tax.freetalklive.com, and you can get directly in touch with Melanie through her website. Tax.freetalklive.com will take you to her site. You can reach out to her. You are talking about, we're within a month now, basically, from Tax Day, which, of course, is coming up in mid-April, and it's not too late to get you on board. Melanie, if someone needs some help?
No, it's not. If you bring me, like, a large corporation, then you're probably going to be filing late, but
small business.
Yeah, regular people, small businesses, most people who have a small business don't necessarily think that it's a small business as opposed to a large business. Mm-hmm. Amazon is a large business.
Right.
If you're looking for an accountant, you have a small business.
Okay, fair enough. And Melanie can do that for you, and she will help you maximize what you get to keep from the evil state. Just go to tax.freetalklive.com to get in touch with her as soon as possible, preferably tax.freetalklive.com.
So apparently hate is an emotion that is associated with feelings of anger, disgust, and disposition.
So emotions are different than feelings.
Apparently, according to the dictionary and Wikipedia.
Okay. Well, that seems to be. All right, well, let's get back into the story here about empathy, which is what you've got psychiatrist from Yale, so somebody's got a degree, so therefore let's.
Yeah, and so if it's having, you know, one person versus another person, if you have to choose between, you know, somebody and somebody else, that's really kind of and I haven't read the entire book, but I don't.
What's the book called? Against Empathy?
Against Empathy.
Oh, you actually have the book here.
Yes.
Okay, I just hadn't even taken note of that.
So, if you just want people to avoid you at Starbucks or something.
Just sit there looking.
But, so if it's, you're having to choose between somebody and somebody else, I don't see why one is preferential to the other.
What is the choosing thing? I'm sorry, I'm missing.
So he's talking about choosing people close to you as opposed to people on the other side of the world.
People tend to have empathy more for people that they have some connection to instead of just some random villager 5,000 miles away.
My resources are limited. I want to help the places I can have the most impact on, and I tend to believe that's local.
And that makes sense. So I don't know that that's really a valid critique as far as that goes, but it's weird to read half a paragraph. So
all right.
And empathy is narrow. It connects us to particular individuals, real or imagined, but is insensitive to numerical differences and statistical data. As Mother Teresa put it, if I look at the mass, I will never act. If I look at the one, I will.
Mm-hmm.
Laboratory studies find that we really do care more about one than the mass, so long as we have personal information about the one.
That makes sense.
But they're not talking about someone you actually know.
Right. They're talking about a human being.
They're just saying if you point out one person and give them a name.
Right. There's a reason for that, right? Like, that's why Sally Struthers in the 1990s or the late 80s or whatever, she had that campaign.
And she would bring over one little young star. starving boy
from Africa, and she would talk about, you know, this young man and his life and how difficult it was, and then they would ask you for a donation. I mean,
because we know that about psychology, that is the proper way to run an ad for a charity. But
right.
The underlying reasons why they have to run the ads that way are entirely irrational and cause people to make bad decisions sometimes.
Well, whether or not it's a bad decision to give to whatever that organization was
that's not a bad decision. Maybe they are wasteful.
I don't know. I mean, it's possible that they weren't a very good way to help people in Africa, and that it was, you know, 90% of their overhead was going to office supplies and staff and things like that. I mean, there certainly are wasteful charities.
Okay, but
right
just
there.
Because you okay, so empathy is a feeling. You can if it was rational, it would be called a thought, not a feeling. So the fact that you can manipulate it into doing something good does not mean that it is a reliable source of decision-making.
But statistics can be manipulated, and people respond to statistics.
They almost
so does
always
that
are.
Mean that statistics should not be looked at either?
Statistics should not be lied about, which is what you're pretty much talking
but
about.
But it's not necessarily a lie if you've created a study.
Okay, saying something that is misleading but technically accurate is in fact lying, though, Ian.
Well, right, but part of creating statistics is creating the questions, for instance, like in a poll that people answer. And so you're telling the truth about the answers to the poll, but the poll itself was skewed in its answers, right?
Well, I'm not even talking about that. I'm thinking more about the women make 73 cents for every dollar that a man makes.
That's all you're saying, you're lying, because implied in there is a lot of stuff that just isn't true.
Right, and I actually wound up one time going through and looking at other statistics about the rates of overtime worked by men versus rates of overtime worked by women, the amount of sick time that's taken off, the amount of maternity leave, and then I ran the numbers. And
we make more, by the way.
We humans
being,
or
we
women,
women,
I think is what she meant.
Well, possibly. It's all
depends
how you
look
run
at
the numbers. So if you look at the numbers of here's a man that worked 10 hours of overtime every week and only took one sick day a year versus here's a woman that never worked overtime, had a month of maternity leave, and then took 7 additional sick days, there's going to be a huge difference of what is actually made. And somebody could look at that number and throw that out and say, see, this woman only made 69 cents versus what this man made for a dollar.
Right.
Statistics can be manipulated.
Absolutely. And so what, Melanie, if it's true what you're saying, if what you're saying is that we should only look at statistics.
I'm not saying we should only look at statistics. Statistics are not the only kind of facts.
Okay.
We should acknowledge the fact that empathy is a
you're
feels.
You're saying search only for facts. Do not look at the feelings that you have when you hear a story about somebody being tortured or somebody living in horrible life circumstances or escaping from, you know, North Korea or whatever the, you know, the individual stories are. You're saying that nobody should pitch based on that and nobody should respond based on that.
Okay, so
basically respond, cool story, bro.
Well,
now give me some stats. Give me some facts.
Well, the facts would be that this was a bad thing that happened. So if you have to pick one person to help, any random method of doing that is probably not worse than any other.
Let's continue here in moments. Our number is 855-450-FREE, because, of course, most pitches involve both individual stories and statistics and facts. Like, oh, here's this person we saved from North Korea, and here's some statistics about how many we could save or did save, etc. More come up.
Tired of being censored by Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Patreon? Well, now you don't have to be. OneWay.com is the free speech and human-friendly social network built just for you. Stop feeding the beast. Every post you make on those evil, anti-human, anti-American perverted sites helps them destroy our families, our country, and our souls. Join OneWay today and take back your liberty. Your free speech alternative is waiting for you at OneWay.com. OneWay.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hey, this is Ricky from Banyan Hill. You like freedom? I do. You like money? I do too. If you like freedom and money, then you're going to love Freedom Checks. You see, over the next few months, an estimated $34.6 billion is up for grabs to anyone who stakes their claim. Yep, you heard that right. $34.6 billion. To get all the details, just go to www.AmericanFreedomChecks.com. Thousands of people are already lined up to cash in. Take Doug, for example. He's a 46-year-old from Joplin, Missouri, who's set to get a check for $24,075. And if Doug can do this, I've got a hunch that you can, too. But here's the thing. If you want the chance to grab your full fair share of this $34.6 billion payout, you must have your ducks in a row by April 1st. So don't wait. Get over to www.AmericanFreedomChecks.com before the April 1st deadline. That's www.AmericanFreedomChecks.com.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
Yeah! This is Free Talk Live. Take control of the airwaves if you want. Toll-free number here is 855-453, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Here in the studio with you tonight, it's Ian,
Melanie,
and Daryl.
We're talking about empathy, which Melanie had asked over the weekend. Has she ever talked about on the air how she doesn't think empathy is a good thing? And I said, I don't think we've ever had that conversation, and I'm very interested in having it. In fact, you're reading a book about it. It's called Against Empathy by Paul Bloom.
Yes.
And how far are you through? He's just pretty
like
new.
A couple of pages.
All right, but you also
I kept
article.
Like reposting his article like various times since it came out, just like on Facebook and stuff.
Well, I'm not on
people,
Facebook,
but so
now you are reading an article about him or by him?
This one's by him.
Okay, and this was posted on where?
This is on the BostonReview.net.
Okay, and he is, I'm sure, summarizing to some extent his argument in the book as to why he's against empathy. And my understanding of it so far, and we haven't even really scratched the surface of the story, I don't think, is that going by empathy is a bad way to make decisions because you're connecting with just one person's story, and you might be donating to a bad organization who's trying to take advantage of you or something
like
that.
Well, right, so it's not. Empathy is evil and you should never have it ever for any reason.
Okay.
Empathy is not a solid basis on which to make decisions.
I see.
It would be weird to say that about any emotion, whether that be happy or sad or empathy or angry.
Okay.
I mean, first of all, you don't
So he's not all the way against empathy. He's not completely against empathy, is what you're saying.
He's against it.
He's not encouraging sociopathy.
He's against it in the way that most people advocate it.
All right, well, let me hear more. And we'll continue. If you want to join us, the toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, or Skype in at Skype username lrn.fm.
Okay, yeah, so then people will care more about one person than the masses as long as they have some insignificant data about them. In light of these features, our public decisions will be fairer and more moral once we put aside empathy.
Hold on. He's talking about public decisions.
Right, but that's...
He's talking about, like, government...
Okay, clearly he's a statist because most people are statists.
I see.
But that doesn't... Just because he's talking about policy, that doesn't mean that there's no decisions you can make that affect something other than your own personal household.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Our policies are improved, and we appreciate that 100 deaths are worse than one, even if we know the name of the one, and we acknowledge that the life of someone in a faraway country is worth as much as the life of a neighbor, even if our emotions pull us in a different direction.
I'm going to give you on, you know, the basis of public funding decisions. It certainly makes sense to look at the facts in that matter more so than an individual circumstance when making a decision like that. But again, as you pointed out, we're against the idea of governments entirely. And so therefore, you know, if we had our druthers, there would be no coercive monopoly known as the state, and therefore there would be no public decisions to be made at all. But in that case, you know, you would then still have the decision to make, do you support a particular charity?
Right, yeah, so should you support a particular charity? There's still cases where you can choose, you know, it's kind of the less perverse trolley problem where it's like, okay, well, you can save one person or you can save 15 people. You don't know anything. You don't know any of these people. You have no responsibility or relationship with any of them. But, you know, you see a sad picture of the one guy.
No, the reality
is... That would not be a necessarily good decision.
There's a lady up here in New Hampshire who I know who has come down with a form of cervical cancer, and she had to have a very invasive procedure done. I won't get into the details on how invasive, but about as invasive as a woman could have a procedure done on her.
Yes.
She had that procedure done, and, you know, she's got a GoFundMe campaign together. And I gave her some money, but I haven't given money to overall cancer research, you know. I gave her money to help her out in her circumstance because I know her. And the fact is, that's just the way people are going to be. They are going to connect with the people that they know, the people who are closer, the people who they can, like I say, empathize with, and it may indeed, as he's saying, the studies may show, and I believe it, that people are more likely to feel empathy towards people who are closer to them.
Right, people that they have some kind of connection to, and that connection could be as loose as, we live in the same town.
It could be, yeah. Simply because, you know, it's a good thing, Melanie, and I don't know if you're saying it's a bad thing, but it is a good thing to be able to try to feel as someone else might feel, right? Which is what empathy is.
Well, I think that that's a waste of energy because that is not helping that person. You sitting around being sad is not helping anyone.
You don't have to sit around.
What empathy isn't, I sit here and I'm sad for somebody in Africa that doesn't have food. It's when you're having a conversation with somebody and they tell you that they have a problem, you're able to put yourself in their shoe to understand what it's like to go through that problem.
Yeah, it doesn't,
you don't just respond, cool story, bro.
Because you don't have to see it from their vantage point because you're not in that vantage point. You just
have to
understand this is bad. Cancer is bad. Having your house broken into is bad. Like, you don't have to feel anything about that.
Okay, you don't have to. But the idea behind empathy is that can you? If you can, then you can empathize with that person. Otherwise, you just feel sorry for them. So that's the difference, of course, between empathy and sympathy. And it's a common mistake to confuse those things. You know, what it sounds to me like is what you're saying here, to some extent, Melanie, is take away any feeling from it. Just be able to acknowledge that these things are bad that are happening, and therefore you can still help. And if that's what gets you to help somebody, then that's fine. But generally, empathy is the ability to place oneself in that other person's shoes, if only for a moment. It doesn't mean that you've placed yourself in their shoes for the next week and that you just mope around and do absolutely nothing as a result. Like, if you're placing yourself in a depressed person's shoes, that you then have to act depressed for the rest of your life or until you've stopped helping that person. No, you can just in that moment, you can say, oh, you know, that's really, you know, frustrating. I can see how that would feel. I wouldn't want to feel that myself. And so therefore, I'm willing to help you with this circumstance. It just sounds like what you're advocating is to be cold for being cold's sake, and that there's no benefit.
Well, no,
to...
for stepping, if you can't just get rid of your emotions or don't want to, you know, if you're going to have empathy, to additionally analyze things rationally.
Okay.
And if it's your friend, sure, or your neighbor who you talk to for a long time, you're still going to have those kind of tiebreakers.
Was it irrational for me to give to the individual and her GoFundMe as opposed to giving to the larger, more statistically significant research for cancer?
No, but if we lived in a society where charities like that were more efficient, there might be a different answer to that.
Okay.
And where medical care would be more affordable because we lived in a free society, there might be a different answer to that. But that's not the world you made that decision in.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yes, yeah, so...
Or from Paul Bloom at Against Empathy.
The even if we know their name, without empathy, we are better able to grasp the importance of vaccinating children and responding to climate change, which these acts impose costs on real people in the here and now for the sake of abstract future benefit, so tackling them may require overriding empathetic responses that favor and comfort the well-being of individuals today. And I've seen the little meme where it's a picture of a nurse with no gloves trying to stab a child with a vaccine who's just kind of flailing around, which is absolutely not how you give vaccines in the first place. It says no child should ever have to suffer through this. And it's like, but then they won't get polio. So if you use the logic instead of I'm sad that you're stabbing a child with a needle.
Well, I think that that's a little different. I mean, in that case, they are appealing to someone who already has an opinion about vaccines. They are presumably against them.
But,
right?
Okay, so if you think that vaccines cause all kinds of horrible things, it would make more sense to make that argument versus shots hurt. because that was the argument in that meme.
Okay.
So that's an empathetic argument, not a rational argument. So we can rethink.
So now you're just arguing against internet clickbait.
Well, I'm sure.
That's an example of making an irrational decision. Are you saying people don't make irrational decisions outside of the internet?
I'm saying that internet clickbait has nothing to do with empathy.
Yeah.
Internet clickbait is internet clickbait.
Well, we're going to come back here. Your calls and thoughts are certainly welcome. Melanie is against empathy. Sorta. Mostly.
Kind of.
Like.
Maybe.
There's more coming up here, and you can share your thoughts on the topic or anything you want.
I've said it many times on air, and I'll say it here. The New Hampshire Liberty Alliance is one of the most important organizations for freedom in the world. New Hampshire is ground zero for freedom, and the NHLA is the best organization at promoting effective liberty activism. This ad is sponsored by Free Talk Live, and I, Mark Ed, I'm a lifetime member because I believe in the NHLA. Please check them out at nhliberty.org. Not everyone can move right now, but you can support the cause. Donate top cryptocurrencies or old-fashioned U.S. dollars, nhliberty.org. Visit their website and see what they're all about, nhliberty.org.
The Bitcoin.com wallet is a simple and powerful full-featured Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Core wallet that allows you to send and receive either currency with anyone anywhere in the world. The Bitcoin.com wallet supports both single and multi-signature wallets and is available in multiple languages. Download the Bitcoin.com wallet for easy and secure access to your Bitcoin Core and your Bitcoin Cash. The Bitcoin.com wallet is available for Android, iOS, Windows, Mac, and even Linux. Learn more at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Tired of being censored by Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Patreon? Well, now you don't have to be. OneWay.com is the free speech and human-friendly social network built just for you. Stop feeding the beast. Every post you make on those evil, anti-human, anti-American perverted sites helps them destroy our families, our country, and our souls. Join OneWay today and take back your liberty. Your free speech alternative is waiting for you at OneWay.com. OneWay.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Hi, I'm Rick Osick, president of Famous Footwear. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time. But some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why Famous Footwear supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live. They bring up anything you want. Although we've been talking about empathy throughout most of this hour, you're welcome to comment on that or whatever's on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Or Skype in at Skype username lrn.fm. Also, you can join us in the on-air call-in line chat room on our Discord over at discord.lrn.fm. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Bitcoin.com. Great place to go and learn the basics about cryptocurrency. Bitcoin's price, it's up from what it was a few days ago, but still down from what it was a few months ago. It is overall, though, of course, going up over time. What is it? What is cryptocurrency? You want to learn about it? Then go to Bitcoin.com and get started doing that. Spend a few minutes over there, and you'll be better educated on cryptocurrency. And then if you want to learn a lot more about what's been going on in the world with Bitcoin, then you can check out their news site over at news.bitcoin.com. Once again, that's news.bitcoin.com. Melanie is taking the position against empathy as advocated by author Paul Bloom in a book that she has in front of her. You're not reading from the book directly, but you do have an article that Bloom wrote that you're sharing with us from
online. Right, and I guess as a response to the meme, and probably is a better example, there's an example in the book where they give a bunch of people a story about a kid who's on a wait list for some kind of transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell some people, you know, try to empathize with the kid and then listen to the story. And they tell other people, try to act objectively and then listen to the story. And then they ask people at the end, okay, well, there's a wait list that's been, everybody's been ranked on the wait list based on how severe their case is and odds of it being effective and stuff like that. And should we move this kid up 100 spots? And the people who were told to empathize with the kid said yes, because they were making an emotional decision that kind of screwed over all the other people on the list because they didn't hear that person's name or listen to the sad story. Where the people who were told to be objective actually listened to that somehow and kept him on his proper medical waiting on the list. So, yeah, if you're, and this was not, obviously not their kid, not a kid they knew, not their friend's kid, no kid they had any connection to other than
they, it's a kid.
A fictitious kid.
Uh-huh.
They, you know, were, and I mean, I guess they were willing to kill the fictitious other 100 people up on the list. But yeah, so when you're making decisions based on emotions, most of the time.
And when you're making decisions based on, you know, well, I was told to do this, look at the Milgram experiment where, what was it, 75% of the people kept giving the lethal voltage because the guy in the lab coat said the experiment must continue.
So yeah, people are horrible.
You're suggesting there that because people were instructed to do a certain thing, they did that thing because...
Right, because they weren't having any kind of empathy for the person on the other side of the screen that was being electrocuted.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Milgram experiment just kind of demonstrates that at least those people were horrible.
Well, wait a minute. You're the one advocating against empathy. Daryl is making the point that were they able to empathize with that person?
Were they able to not be evil, they would have stopped shocking the person after they were told he had a heart attack.
Well, they stopped shocking when it was just a random person. No, when it was just the assistant saying the experiment must continue, they were like, no, I think I'm really hurting the guy.
Right.
But when lab coat came in, all of a sudden, they did whatever lab coat said.
Right, because of authority. Yeah, that was the reason.
Yeah, that just proves that people have Stockholm Syndrome. It doesn't prove that...
Well, proves that the love for authority, the worship for authority, outranked whatever empathy they had for that person.
Right.
Right, but okay, you don't need empathy for someone to not shock them to death. Because
you
a
don't need it, but
to.
It helps to have it. I mean, you're arguing against a thing because it can get in the way of logical decision making. I get what you're saying there.
Okay,
but
outside
it's
of the
helpful to have empathy.
I've had people tell me I make decisions based on feelings, or you should make decisions based on feelings, or I rank feelings higher than logic, and based on that, and I know that people do this, and if you look around at the decisions people make, that's a conclusion that one could draw. Yes, I'm going to point out, by the way, this is a feeling. You might, you know, maybe we should be using logic if we're going to be making decisions.
I'm not disagreeing with you that people shouldn't look at things from a logical perspective in addition to taking whatever feelings they have under consideration. I'm not saying that somebody should make decisions purely based on empathy, but I'm not the one taking a position for or against something very strongly here. I'm saying take it all under advisement and then make a decision based on all of it. You're saying don't even consider empathy. You're saying you can't even see how empathy would benefit us in a circumstance where somebody was being tortured.
Well, empathy is and any emotion is the functional equivalent of a random number generator. You might get the right number. That doesn't mean...
I don't understand what you're saying.
It's a random decision generator instead of a literal number
You're saying empathizing with another human being in their circumstances is somehow tantamount to a random number generator?
It randomly gives you a decision. It doesn't give you a decision based on any type of logic or rationality or reasoning.
That's why people think libertarians are cold, right? Like some of them are cold and they have no heart. It's just hard to even connect with what you're saying here. When you empathize with another person, of course it doesn't have to do with logic. It has to do with, you know, being able to feel the pain that that person is going through, and also logically being able to put yourself to think about, boy, how would I feel if I was being shocked?
But
right
it doesn't
now?
Matter how I would feel or what I would want to happen. It matters what should happen, and maybe it matters to some extent how that person feels. But how I would feel, I might do something horrible, suffer a reasonable consequence, and not like that. That doesn't mean that somebody should then come take that away.
I'm still not sure if you're arguing in favor of apathy or sociopathy.
Well, she's
saying using logic.
She's saying she wouldn't shock the person in the experiment, in the Milgram experiment.
Because that would be clearly wrong.
Because she believes it's wrong. But you already took the experiment on, right? So is it wrong to cause them a certain amount of pain? Because if they were just getting a little, like, you know, the old stick of gum trick where, you know, it was electrocuted or whatever. That's
like a 9-volt battery.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
that's not okay. The people in the Milgram experiment did allegedly, because these weren't actually people on the other end of the screen.
They were Confederates that were being shocked.
Yeah, sign up for some small amount of shocking, so that's assuming no extreme circumstances, that's okay, but the Milgram experiment got to the point where they were thinking that people were dying. They were faking heart attacks and having people
That was the extreme end of it. But first they started to act as though they were just simply being hurt by the shocks. The ultimate end of it was having things like heart attacks.
So the first shock was, ooh, ah. And then it got to, ah!
Yeah, like screaming
the
louder.
Screams got louder. Stop it! Stop!
Right.
Yeah, so even at that point, once somebody tells you to stop, it's not okay anymore. I mean, do we really have
right.
to go through
no
that?
Right, no doubt. But the reason it's not okay is because that person is being hurt and they don't feel good, right? Like, it hurts them to continue this participation and you're causing
that
harm.
Right, so I'm not saying that you should make decisions as if emotions don't exist, because that's not the universe that we live in. We have emotions
do
exist.
So pretend like you have the emotion and then make a decision.
So apathy, no. Not sociopathy. Got it.
Okay.
Okay, but it can also, it's interference in decision making at best. So
it's interference. Feelings are interference.
So then a couple paragraphs down, this brings us to the targets of empathy. As I write this, an older relative of mine who has cancer is going back and forth to hospitals and rehabilitation centers.
Cool story, bro.
I've watched him interact with doctors and learned what he thinks of them. He values doctors who take the time to listen to him and develop an understanding of his situation. He benefits from this sort of cognitive empathy, but emotional empathy is more complicated. He gets the most from doctors who don't feel as he does, who are calm when he is anxious, confident when he is uncertain. And he particularly appreciates certain virtues that have little directly to do with empathy, virtues such as competence, honesty, professionalism, and respect. And then he goes on to talk about a Buddhist monk who, when he was told as an experiment in the traditional sense, but an informal experiment to try to feel empathy for people, he burned out quicker. He wasn't able to do as much. When you take on extraneous emotions, and I understand it's not always a choice, but when you have extraneous emotions, that gets in the way of you necessarily being able to do.
Okay, so he's made a distinction here that I've never heard of before. He made a distinction between cognitive empathy and emotional empathy, and he said that he's okay with cognitive empathy.
Which is not what most people mean
empathy.
When they say empathy.
Well, this is new information to me, so I want to learn more about that. I pulled up an article here about emotional empathy and cognitive empathy, so let's dig in a little bit further into that. And your comments and thoughts, certainly welcome. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. We can talk about the border wall coming up here as well. Hour 3 is next here on Free Talk Live, and you can join us.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Mm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.